just like that, right? Okay, once again, I'd like to welcome my mother, who's with us here. Nice to see you, Rebbetzin Goldberger. And we are going to be starting a section in the Derech Hashem by Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto. And it's on your handouts on the very first page there, page 47. And the lady at the photocopy store, I didn't even ask her, and she put that nice little picture on the Derech Hashem on the front page there. She did that all on her own. That was nice of her. Because it makes it look a little classier with that on it. Okay, there's a shiur right in back there on the table there. So page 47, and the topic really for this semester is Hashgacha, Hashem's Hashgacha, his looking out over the Jewish people, over the world, over all of reality, over each and every individual, all those things. So, Perek Aleph, Be'inyan, this is the title, Be'inyan Hashgacha So Yisporach Shemo Bichlal. Regarding Hashem's Hashgacha, his providence, his interaction and oversight and involvement in general, bichlal, in general. Letter Aleph, Yodua Umavuar Hu. It is known and explained, Shakol Hanivroim Kulam Shenivru, that all creations who were created, Bein Ha'ayonim Uvein HaTachtonim, whether they are higher beings, which means spiritual creations, like a malach, or whether it is a lower being, someone who inhabits the physical world. Hine nivru lefi. They were created because Shiroasa bohem hachochmo he'olyona. Hashem saw in them, in his divine wisdom, tzorech v'toelis, a need and a purpose. Lama shehu hatachlis hakloli shel habriya, for the general overall purpose of creation. So he's saying every single thing which exists, higher, lower, physical, spiritual, big, small, it's all here for a reason. Nothing exists in the world without a reason. And everything which is here, Hashem sees in it a tachlis, a purpose for creation in general. V'chol chukoseihem u'mishpateihem hativiim, and all of their natural laws and principles, chuchaku v'hutba'u, they were fixed in and made to be their nature, kefima shegozra hechachma he'olyona heyoso na'us, according to Hashem and His divine wisdom saw fitting. So the way an ant works and its instincts is programmed, so to speak, by Hashem. Just like the way the entire universe and the galaxy works. Everything has a certain teva and nature, the way it operates, that's all ordained by Hashem. Lefi ha-kavana shekivna b'nivra ha-hu, specific to the intention that Hashem had for that particular creation. Ve'ulam, moreover, Me'oso hatam atzmo, for that very same reason, shenivru'u, that they were created, ro'ui gamkein, it is also fitting, sheyiskaimu, that they would continue to exist, literally more to be sustained, to endure. Kol zaman heyospam to'eles liklal habriya, as long as they have a purpose for the overall creation, they should continue to exist, kamosha zacharnu, as we have mentioned. So he's saying two things here. One is the creation of all things is purposeful, and everything has its place and its way. And the perpetuation of all things is also by Hashem's divine wisdom. Valkein, therefore, ha'adon baruch hu, Hashem, the master of all things, shabora kol hanivroim ha'ila, who created all of these creations, lo yimana agamkein, he will not hold himself back as well, mila hashkiach alem, from paying attention to them and from being involved in them. He doesn't just throw the world off into oblivion or anarchy. He's paying attention to everything. L'kayimam, to sustain them. Ba'osa hamatzav, in that condition, shehu rotze osam bo, that he wants them to be in. Right, so that's an introductory but very yesodistic paragraph from the Ramchal about the overall purposefulness of all creation and everything that exists, and its being sustained and enduring nature. It's all overseen by Hashem, and he would not hold himself back from paying attention to this. Yeah, please, Rabbi Sid.
So I think there are two things. One is that, so Hashem created everything with a certain nature and characteristics of another in order to fit the overall plan that he has. Mm-hmm. So then you have the Tira. Mm-hmm. Which would indicate to me that it's gonna go, I don't know how
different ways,
right? Mm-hmm. So I think I wanted to talk about that a little bit. But then the second part seemed like that maybe is the only reason the Hashgacha is necessary altogether. Because if God created everything a certain way to do a certain thing, to run in a certain way, He has to watch over it. I mean, if He wants to, He can. But it doesn't seem like it's necessary in that things might not go right, because if everything's designed to only go a certain way, it's only going to go a certain way, except that Bechira changes all of that. And then my question, I guess, is regarding a person's nature, who I am asking is not designed similar to an ant, except that he has Bechira. In other words, each person clearly has different inclinations, different abilities, and should do things according to that, because I would think that's what God created you to do, a certain thing, just like an ant. You can want to do something like a crocodile, but you were created like an ant, and your choice isn't to try to be a crocodile. Your choice is to do what you can do as an ant, which still involves Bechira. So those are my thoughts.
Okay, so now the truth is that all of the things that Rebbe Sin mentioned, they're all further ahead. Because you're talking about Bechira and a person, and the Ramchal, Kedarko, he builds a binyan, right? He goes step by step. He starts here, and he puts a level on that, and a level on that. He makes the overall principle, then he talks about all the systems inside of the structure. The most complex one is us, is the human being. And we have Bechira, and therefore, because of Bechira, Hashem responds to our Bechira, which is how He wants us to be. As He wants us to be, people who have Bechira. So, whereas an ant does not, you know, and a crocodile does not, but we do. So it's a whole different kind of Hashgacha, which we'll get to. And then also the idea that everything is around us, you know, and we're here in the world, it's another concept that we will arrive at, but the whole stage of the universe is set for us. Right? The reason a star does what it does and the sun does what it does and a dog does what it does is for human beings. We are the purpose in creation. So their hashgacha is really secondary to ours. We are the center of the universe. We are the tachlis of creation. And the whole system that operates around us, it's not for its own sake. It's Laman, the human being, which is Laman, of course, Kavod Hashem.
But that kind of qualifies my first question.
Right.
Which was, then are we just in a completely separate category? Yeah.
Yeah. We are in a completely separate category of Hashgacha.
Created to do a certain particular thing.
Thing, right? People do something which is earned Devekus to Hashem. For eternity, which no other creation does, that's a whole unique type of hashgacha. So we'll get to that, Bezras Hashem, as we move through the, you know, the structure of creation. Yeah. Yeah, please, Mrs. Fred.
If a species becomes extinct, mm-hmm. is that because there is no longer a toelis, or humans have used their brain to fill out everything?
Right, right. So it's a difficult question, I believe. And I think it's really both things are involved. That we do have Bechira, so therefore in Bechira, it's possible for a person to make a bad choice. So we could therefore choose through our own, unfortunately, destructive acts to make a certain species extinct. We could choose that. However, if Hashem wanted that species to continue, then he would override our bechira. Because we never have the ability to truly go against Ratzon Hashem. Right? We can, in the small picture, we can, chas v'shalom, do an aveira and go against God's will. He's allowing us to do that. If he doesn't want a particular species to become extinct, because there's some purpose in it that we all need, even though what we have done would call for that extinction, he'll override it. And that gets into another type of hashkacha of Hashem, which is the one that's not tied to human beings and human choice. It's Hashem is doing things lama'an his ratzon. Okay, letter base. V'ulam, and moreover, kavar hikdamnu b'chelek rishon perek chamishi. We have already stated earlier in the Sefer, shetechilas hanivraim kulam, that the beginning of creation, this does not mean the beginning in terms of time, it means as far as the structure of creation, physical and spiritual. So what's on top, what's on the bottom, what's higher, what's lower? So techila, the beginning, the top of the structure, kulam heim hakochos hanivdalim. This is Ramchal's language. They are spiritual forces. Spiritual forces. So the top of the ladder of creation, there are a certain set of spiritual forces that are up there, and they're still there right now. Umehem, and from those kochos, mishtal shalim hagashamim, the physical creation chains down into existence. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. Vahadavorim bigashamim, and things that are here in the physical world, b'chol prateihem, in all of their details, hine heim kafi ma, they are according to ma shenetak aleihem, that which is transferred down to them, min hakochos hohem, from those higher forces, b'prate b'chinoseihem, in all of their specific aspects. V'ein dover katan ogadol bagashmi. There's nothing small or big in physical creation that does not have a cause and a root in those higher forces according to their different dimensions. He is involved and pays attention and supervises over all these things, kafi ma shebara'am, according to the way he created them. Dahainu, and that is, al hakochos hanivdolim barishona, first, the higher spiritual forces, val kol hishtal shalusan, and then they're chaining down, kafi ma shehu be'emes, according to that which is truth, V'chein hu mashgiach gam kein al ha-pikidim. And he also pays attention to the appointed one. He means malachim. Shehifkid al ha-nimsaos. That Hashem appointed over this reality, kamo shezachar nisham, as we mentioned, l'kayim osam ve'espakud asam, to sustain them and their task, l'hasmid lahem ha-koach, to perpetuate their force, Sheyifalu pu'ulasam, in order to continue to act. Now the Ramchal just said in a very concise way what he described in an earlier sefer in the book. So I want to talk about it because in order to go further, we have to have an understanding of what he's saying here. And this is known as hishtalshalus. Hishtalshalus. Hishtalshalus is like the word shalshalus. It's a chain. And it means this, that the universe, if we would let's say that it starts here, you know, where my hand is, that this is a spiritual realm. God created that. That's the top of creation. And then there's a chain, and the next link down is that same realm that was up there, but it's a little lower. and then a little lower, and a little lower, and a little lower, thousands and thousands and thousands of times until the bottom of the chain is physical reality, Olam Hazeh, as we know it. We're at the bottom of the chain. Now those forces up there, what he calls kochos, we're talking about chesed, gevura, emes, what we call the spheros or the midos. Those are the fundamental forces that God made so the world operates as it does. He's constantly looking at those forces, making sure everything is right. When he wants to deliver, let's say a bracha, into our world, something of blessing or abundance. So up there in those higher forces, Hashem delivers something to them. And then that bracha gradually comes down through all the levels of creation, funnels down, until it lands here in the physical world. It could look like parnasa, it could look like friendship, it could look like refuah, it could look like geula, all the things we mentioned in Shemona Esrei, that's what we're asking for. So that bracha starts up here. That's what he means, that he pays attention up there first to the higher force. It doesn't mean they're more important. But in this ladder, in this chain, it comes down like that, all the way down. So the kochos are up here, and then we're down here. Now he also mentioned something, that every facet of every physical being is determined by what's up there. So that means, and he says this elsewhere, I'll say it in pretty close to the Ramchal's Lashon, every physical being has a spiritual counterpart. Every physical being has a spiritual counterpart. That's what the Ramchal says earlier. So that means that this shtender in front of me, this piece of wood, which is the lowest manifestation of this mitzius, this existing thing, this has a higher source in Shemayim, has a higher source. Everything around us has a physical side and a spiritual side. And the physical side is a replica of the spiritual side, except it's in physical form, not spiritual form. So that bracha starts up here and it comes down, 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 down. And then that very specific bracha down here, what's its form? Money. As I said, friendship, child, it has its form. And that's an exact replica of what's up there. Now, two more things that the Ramchal is saying here. Now, Hashem designed it such that this process of Hishtal Shalus, which transfers everything down from the lower, from the higher worlds to the lower, that there are supervisors over this, Pekidim. And those are Malachim. Malachim are in charge of the transference and the delivery of that which is in higher realms down to the lower realms. So if you got the higher forces up here and we're down here, so in between, to get from here to here, Malachim are all involved making this tremendous flow of the universe happen. Malachim are there in charge of. Could God be in charge himself? Of course. Is he in charge himself? Of course. But he, so to speak, delegates to Malachim. That's their role in the universe. That's their tachlis in the universe. And you have big overall Malachim like Michoel, Gavriel, Raphael, the famous ones who we know about. Those are very big Malachim. Then you have little tiny Malachim that we don't even know about. I'm just using physical terms. Ad kedei kach, that the Chachamim say that every blade of grass doesn't grow unless a malach taps it and says, grow. That's how the Chachamim say it. Every blade of grass. So that means all things, literally, big things, small things, have malachim, which carry this whole system out into being all the time. At all times, it's happening right now as we speak. And Hashem makes sure that every malach has its task, that it knows its task, it performs its task all the way through creation from beginning to end. That's the general idea of Hishtal Shulus. It's the kochos up here, the malachim who are delivering, and then down here, we in the physical world as well. Now, what we're going to talk about later, but we didn't get to it yet, is that what about human beings and our role in this? But I don't want to jump the gun because there's a few more steps that we have to get to in order to talk about that. Yeah, please, Dory. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the malachim are less and less kadosh? Or is it that it's spiritual and then, I don't understand that.
Sure. I don't think I want to use the word kadosh. I'm not quite sure that quite fits, but light is a good word. So each time that level of reality comes down a level, it's a veil. It's veiling that higher level and then it's a little lower. And a little lower. A veil. Just like gradually coming down a little bit. A mushroom would be, you have a light, and then around that light you put a shade. So inside that shade is the brightness of the light. If you're outside that shade, it's the same light, but it's very much toned down. Let's say you've got 10 shades now. You're going to get gradually lower and lower reduction of light. The source is the same, but every shade, it's going to drop down a little bit in its intensity. So spiritually speaking, that's what's happening up there. Each level down is another shade, another veil. It's a little less bright than it was one level up. And that happens, as I said, millions of times, all the way till you get to the bottom of the chain, which is us.
Thank you.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sarah, please. No, you're talking about the neshama that we already have, that we're born with, or a neshama that attaches itself during our life?
Right.
The latter.
Right. That there are neshamas that attach themselves to us at different
right.
times in our life.
Right.
To help themselves, whatever.
Right. Okay, I just wanted to make sure I understood what you were saying. It's called an ibor neshama, what Sarah's talking about. With an ayin, because it means to be pregnant. So you are impregnated with another neshama. That's what it means literally. You're given another neshama in your life, ibor neshama. So the difference is that this is the yesod of the difference. When it comes to a malach, it's functional. A malach is watching, it's protecting, it's helping, it's a functional thing. The malach is not getting a tikkun from helping us out. It's not raising in its level. A malach is constant, it's the same. It doesn't get better, it doesn't get worse. It is a functional being. However, when it comes to a neshama, which for whatever reason Hashem wants to attach to us, even during the course of our lifetime, now tikkun is involved. That something is getting better because of that, both us, the person who receives that, and the neshama itself, which attaches itself, we're not aware of this, is happening on a spiritual level, it's getting some kind of tikkun as well. So it's a very different thing that the malachim are there to perform Hashem's ratzon and carry things out, but they're not getting tikkun. They don't need tikkun. They are as they are. Anytime a neshama is in the picture, now you have tikkun, tachlis, devekus, schar, onesh. That whole picture is related to the neshama, which is not related to the malach. Please. We don't understand that. It's just that somehow it's to our benefit that Hashem sends it to us. We have, you could say it this way, I could say it in a general form, that we have an increased spiritual potential as a result of that. So anytime we have a neshama, which we all do, then that's our spiritual potential, that's our tafkid. Hashem may choose, for his reasons, to increase our spiritual potential at some point in our life. One way of doing that is by attaching another neshama to us. So that neshama benefits, and we benefit as well. Yeah, Revison, please.
Does that happen outside of being attached to a physical person?
You mean in terms of neshamos?
Yeah, like if it, like some relationships form between people
right.
during your lifetime.
Right.
Is a way for that to happen through a relationship with a person? I mean, they obviously have their own neshama mm-hmm. that's unique to them, but also is there an attachment that's forming that's a tikkun for your neshama that's not just an association with the person that you're having, it's an association with a particular neshama that you're having.
Yeah, most definitely. It happens through relationships, except there, it's not like that neshama becomes part of you.
So what you're talking about is that it becomes part of you. It's
right.
not connected to anything else physical but you.
Not right now, right.
right.
It was at some earlier time.
Right.
But right now, Hashem is sending this neshama to attach itself to you. As opposed to through a friendship with another person, whatever happens of mutual benefit for both people, that's a different type of benefit.
Can I ask another question?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I really missed the boat for a long time, and I still am. But kochos hanigdolim are not malachim at all.
Right.
It's a totally different thing.
Right.
It's a force,
right.
and it's not a malach.
Right. Kochos hanigdolim are not malachim. That's correct. They're spiritual forces in the world, yeah.
And that is the force that is responsible and manifests everything in reality that we have.
Right.
Everything derives from those kochos.
From those kochos.
And then the malachim, there are malachim that are overseeing everything. Are there also other malachim that are doing other things, like the malachim that sing whatever their songs are singing? But is that singing in everything that any malach anywhere does all connected to the oversight of these powers coming into the world?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
And then that chaining down, it sounds to me like it is that. It is that in a different form.
Right.
But it is that.
It's like that light mushroom. You know, it's
right.
that same
it's
light, but
it's so
filtered down.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then
it is and it's not. Right? I mean, we have those qualities that are up there.
Right.
They're manifested in us, but in a physical form. And they're not physical up there. They're spiritual. So it's not them, but it is somehow an extension of them. It's their rays. It's their radiance that comes down into us.
But
yeah.
Then the reality of reality is the light inside, or is that physical form, those shades, also something integral that is...
It's all part of reality.
Also has
yeah.
nitzchias to it.
Yeah, it's all part of reality. But the Ramchal does say in certain places, if we really were to know how things are be'emes, how they really are, then if we could look up at that spiritual set of kochos and get a true, clear grasp of that, then we would truly understand reality as it is. Now, our reality is just as real as that reality, but it's veiled so many times that it's hard to see what's what. But if we really could see with unbiased eyes and unaffected eyes, we would see this reality in its perfectly clear state. That really is what Ruach HaKodesh is. Ruach HaKodesh is seeing reality as it is without the veil, without the physical veil.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are things in physical reality that are despicable.
Right.
The Torah itself says that.
Right.
But those things also exist up there?
Yeah, there's a source of Ra up there as well. It has its own source. The Kochos HaTumah have their own source, absolutely.
So are Kochos HaTumah within Kochos HaNigdolim? I mean,
yes.
Is that...
Okay. Yeah. They are up there as one of the Kochos, and it's on the side of Tumah.
So those kochos up there are have.
There's kadosh and there's tome, right? There's light and dark. The kochos hakadosh have a much higher source. They begin all the way up here. The kochos hatuma don't start until you're well down the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
So the source of tov is higher than the source of ra always. And therefore, good is by definition greater than evil.
But they don't derive their source from the kochos ha.
That's getting too complicated.
Okay.
I can't respond to that question. Okay. Yeah, Julie, please.
So the malachim are only bringing down. There's only bracha coming from the malachim.
It depends. It depends what kind of malach it is. It could be a malach hatov. It could also be a chas v'shalom from the legions of the malach hamavis and the Satan and the Yetzer Hara. That's not good. it's overall good. Everything is for the sake of good. But there are malachim who carry out ra as well. And when we experience that, that is what we would call ra in the world.
So, yeah. And this is maybe to talk about this, but through our choices, we have the ability to change what the malach is going to do if they're going to bring down.
Absolutely.
The
absolutely. So again, that's the human role in this big structure that we're going to get to, Bizras Hashem, as to our role in it, which is significant. And we make a very big difference in terms of what those kochos up there look like. And we can help them, and we can hurt them. We can bring or, we can bring choshech. And as a result of that, the malachim will do different things. So we're part of this, except we're not quite there yet in our picture, but we're a very big part of this.
So their function is determined by our actions.
By ours? Yeah, by Hashem's.
Right, Hashem will determine based on what our actions are, what they're going to carry out.
Yes, he will determine based on our actions, and he will also determine not based on our actions.
Right, because he has a plan.
Right, that's right.
But there is that possibility.
Okay. So someone had a question on this side for a minute. Yes, please. Yeah.
If the evil neshama could possibly be the neshama of the person you're named after?
Possibly. Doesn't have to be, but it could possibly. The Iber neshama, a person gets another neshama in their lifetime, which can happen. Can it be the person you're named after? It can be. But again, it doesn't have to be. Yeah. The Mor v'Shemesh writes that when Yosef HaTzadik was in Mitzrayim as the second to Paro, and the Shvatim came to him and he said, Miragli Matem? So he was at that point instructing the neshamos of these great men, his brothers, to assist the Miraglim that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to send out to Eretz Yisroel. When he said, Miragli Matem, Yosef HaTzadik. So they are coming down to see him, and that's one generation, and they're doing what they're doing there, and that whole story. But there's another deeper story behind the story, which is always the case with the Torah. And in the Miragli Matem, Yosef is trying to benefit the future Miraglim that are going to be sent by Moshe Rabbeinu, which are representative of each Shevet, by creating an Ibur Neshama from those Miraglim to the future to help them. Didn't work. Didn't work except Yeshua and Kalev. But that's an example of that. Yeah, please, Mrs. Fran.
You said good by definition is
greater, higher than Ra. Yeah, and that's really a Yesodistic concept. You know, even though we say that whatever exists in good exists in evil and they're equal to each other, it doesn't really mean equal in the sense that they're the same. The power of Tov is greater than the power of Ra, always. Has a higher source. It's based on Hashem's revelation, Gilui, and the power of Ra is based on Hashem's concealment, Hester Panim. And Gilui is greater than Hester. It starts in a higher place in the universe. Now, in our world, in Olam HaZeh, we don't see that because Ra is given a certain domain in our world, and it makes it appear like it's stronger than Tov. In our world, it really looks that way. But truth be told, in higher olamos, going back to the Rebbetzin's point, if we could really see reality right, we would see that Tov is actually greater. Was there another part to that, Mrs. Fanya, please?
Yeah, so the Ra is really in the service of the Tov for people to overcome.
Right. The Ra is always in the service of Tov. Right. And there's a lot of leeway in that. That's, again, based on our Bechira, because we have the ability as people to use Ra not in the service of Tov. We have that choice. Hashem gave us that choice. It's called an Avera, Keneged Ratzon Hashem. But ultimately, it's there to deal with it, to overcome it, to defeat it, and convert that power to Tov, transform it. One second. Linda, you had a hand up before?
I did.
Please.
Mm-hmm. Do the malachim have any say in how those things filter?
Right. That's a great question. The general rule on that is no, they don't. A malach does not have bechira. It does what it's told. We all know that there are a few exceptions to that in Sefer Bereishis, that Hashem said the trees to be a tree and that the bark should taste like the fruit, and it didn't. Didn't listen to Hashem. Right, that's a Yotzei Min HaKlal situation that has to be dealt with by Meforshim. How does that work? But the general principle is that there's no Bechira there. A Malach simply carries out what Hashem has ordained for it to carry out, and it does not waver.
So just to clarify, if Hashem says this person should have some tov in the form of chesed in their life right now, mm-hmm. will he say, okay, that should be through parnasa, friendship, children, or will he say tov and the rest of it just depends on how it...
I see what you're saying. It's Hashem's call. It's Hashem's call. If that tov is money, then it's gelt. If it's friendship, then it's friendship. That's Hashem's call.
Every detail of that call, for a Jew, every detail of that call is coming down.
Right. Thus is Hashgacha Pratis, what you're just saying. That's mamish what Hashgacha Pratis is. That's truly straight from Hashem. A Malach doesn't say, oh, you know, Hashem said money, but I think he could use friendship a little more, right? He doesn't have the right to do that. It's God's decree. Dory had a cat, please. Yeah. Yeah, no, please. Go ahead. Yeah.
Is that something that Hashem created? Or I always think of Tuma as something that man has
made.
Man
made. It's really both. Because as we all know, when Hashem created the world had a nachash in it. And it was a nachash that seduced Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas. No human being put that nachash there. Hashem did. That was God made. So Hashem made that source for Ra in the world. He made it for the sake of Tov, to have Bechira, because you can't get real Tov without Bechira. So God put that nachash here. He created it. However, He created it through Hester Panim. He created Ra by hiding Himself. The more hidden God is, the more Ra is in the world. So we equate Ra with God's, not absence, there's no such thing as that, God's concealment. Whereas Hashem created good through revelation. That's the yesod of the difference between Tov and Ra. So that initial Koach HaTuma that was here, the Nachash, God made that. All the Ra that's man-made, which is unfortunately extensive, that began with the Chet of Adam and Chava. That's the first human Ra in the world, and all the Ra that follows that, which is a product of human choice. And God made a world which allows for that. Okay. All right, so we'll do letter Gimel. I think we might have time to... Yeah. Okay, we'll do letter Gimel. I really enjoyed those questions. They're excellent. It brought out a lot of the material. Thank you. Va'amnam. However, bihiyos shenishtano hamin ha'anoshi mikol sha'ar haminim. Because a human being is different than all other creations. See, I told you we were going to get to it, right? Shenitna lo habechira. Because people have choice. Vahayicholeth, and the actual ability. Pama shehu lo kinias hashlemus o hachisaron. We are able to become more shalem through our choice, or more chaser, more complete, or lacking. And it's given over to us. And no other creation is like that. The nimsa bibechina zu poel umenia. And in this respect, man is the mover of the universe. Like somebody asked, man creates the changes in the forces. We're the poel, we're the doer. And we're the mania. We're actually the one who moves things around and changes reality through our bechira. V'lo nif'ol, and not acted upon. We're poel, not nif'ol, not acted upon. Therefore, gam ha-hashkocha olav. So the hashkocha that God has over human beings, muchrach, it is absolutely necessary, shetishtaneh, that it be different. Meha hashkocha al sha'ar haminim, from God's hashkocha over all other creations. So when it comes again, so let's say to this shtender, it is receiving the ability to exist. So it's here. If it wasn't, it wouldn't be here. It's a one-way street. God sends down the koach through the malach that this piece of wood is here and it's here. It doesn't go that way. However, you and I in this room, when we do something down here, we're sending something upward. So now it starts on the bottom of the chain. And we're sending a message upward. We're the only creation that does that. That's what the Ramchal means, that we're poel umenia. We function and we move reality. We're movers and shakers in the universe. We move it. Everything else is a nif'al, it is acted upon. Now we also have an aspect to us which is acted upon. God sends something down to us and we receive it. We have that part as well, but we have both. And every other creation only has one. It receives. It does not create a change in reality like a person does. Kihine, now he elaborates. Yitztorech lahashkiach. It's necessary for Hashem to pay attention and be involved. Ulahashkif, and to look out al parate ma'asav, on the details of the human actions. That's really your question, Linda. Prate ma'asav, not just the ma'asa, not just the general deed, all the specific aspects of what we do. Lahamsi lo kidurachav, to then bring something back to us according to its ways, ukefrima alalov, into what we did, the fruits of our own actions. The nimsa, so we find, sheyushkechu ma'asav kulam v'toldoseihem, that God looks out over all human actions and their consequences. V'yashuv v'yushkach alav, and then he will once again pay attention, kefi haro'i l'toldos hamasim hohen, according to that which is fitting for those consequences. Bifrat, specifically, umida keneged mida, as we all know, measure for measure. What we do brings about a very certain response in Shemayim. Mida keneged mida, ukamo shezacharnu lefanim, as we have mentioned before. V'zeh mima she'ein shayach bishar haminim. This does not pertain to other facets of creation, other species. Doesn't pertain to them. She'ishayhem, because their personalities, meaning those creations, nif'olim, they are acted upon, v'lo po'alim, they don't act on others. V'einam ela kefi ma she'ro'i l'tashlum hamin hahu, and it's only according to what is necessary for that particular species to be part of the world. Because you could say, hold on a second, a lion jumps on its prey, it just did something to somebody else. He just killed it and ate it, like all the animals in the world do. Yes, but they're not changing reality as a result of it. There's no spiritual consequences. That's just all within its species. In order for a lion to be a lion and a deer to be a deer, that's all what they do. There's no effect, meaning no spiritual effect on the world as a result of that. They're just living in their physical reality. Once you get a person involved in that, that's a whole different story. But the animal kingdom in itself, they are nifal. They receive according to what God gives them. Kefi ma shehu shrash b'sho rasho. Each species, according to what was fixed into its root, meaning its identity. Every species according to its own identity in reality. Shehine tihiyah ha-hashkocha, because God's hashkocha will be l'kayem Hashoresh hahu va'anafav, to sustain that root, that source of that species and its extension in the physical world. So God wants there to bear trees and a forest. He wants that. All the different kinds and species of trees that he made, that's all coming down from above, so they will exist according to the way a tree is supposed to be. Kefi ma sheteva v'chok hashoresh nosein sheyihiyah, according to the root of the reality of that particular species. Avol, however, haminho enoshi, human beings, She'ishav po'alim u'meni'im, that we act on and we affect and we move reality, kamo she'zacharnu. Hine tzorich she'yushkechu bifrat. Hashem therefore needs, doesn't mean he needs, but that's the necessity of the reality, to have hashkocha specifically each and every facet of what he does, of what we do, is looked at by Hashem, and there's a response for that, purati, hashkocha puratis. Kifi mashi yigamru lohem ma'aseyem, according to what our deeds bring about. Lo pachos, not less, velo yoser, and not more. That's mida keneged mida. We will elaborate on this even more with God's help, with the help of heaven, Bezras Hashem. That's Chelak Aleph, and that's the structure for which the other parakim will start to unfold. Rebbetzin, please. Yeah.
I think that the last part kind of answered my first question.
Mm-hmm.
So that all of the things that are not human.
Mm-hmm.
That are not po'alim. It's not just so simple that Hashem created them to do a certain thing and then he sustains them, because once man's moving and shaking starts happening, those things are responsive. We're shaking them. So their rules are affected. In other words, the hashgacha that set in motion from before any choice is exhibited is one thing. And then once all these choices are going on, that the reality of all those things is affected.
Right.
So that, and that's Hashgacha Pratis.
Mm-hmm.
But that original Hashgacha would just be like a sustaining of
a system.
Unchanging system.
Right, right. But once you get man in the picture and human beings change the system, then the universe will change accordingly based on what men do.
Who the lion pounces on,
right,
could be the result of a
human choice. Could be and could not be. Depending.
Or even when the fruit ripens.
Right. Yeah. So that world of Teva is Meshuba to us based on how Hashem created reality.
And that Hashgacha over all of that is taking all of that into account.
Right. So just let's say using your mashal, Hashem created a tree, you have to plant it, you have to take care of it, a tree grows, it produces its fruit, that's Teva. There's malachim who are in charge of that. So a tree has to do that. That's part of the structure of the universe. A tree has to do that. But as you said, a person does something. As a result of that, Hashem says, wow, what a beautiful thing he did. This tree, this year, is going to produce double. So that tree will now follow Hashem's order based on a person's actions. But the tree is already within its teva of doing what it does, but man can affect the way it does what it does through our bechira. Please, yeah, Marlene.
So in the case of a Jewish person who's not conscious and maybe living a life that resembles more an animal, but they have the spiritual potential, but that they're not actualizing it. I'm trying to differentiate in my own mind, is that always bring more ra into the world, or could it be more neutral, like the animal? Can a human being, especially a Jewish person, who for whatever life circumstances didn't have the opportunity, could that be viewed in the large scheme of things more neutral, like the animals? They're just doing what they were programmed to do on an animal level. But in the case of a Jewish person, they have the spiritual potential. They're just not. Is that always going to bring more evil into them, more darkness, more veil, more?
It may, because it's human, it's not animal. So all humans have freedom of choice. Jew, Gentile, observant, not observant. We all have freedom of choice. An animal doesn't. So it's human. But relative to what that person could be aware of in Torah and does not, then their actions, I'm going to say, are not judged in the same way, because they are anusim, a victim of circumstances. They don't know that they're violating Shabbos. And even if they read a book and they heard that there's Shabbos in the Jew, they don't know Shabbos yet. That's a lot different when a person who knows Shabbos and violates Shabbos. So that Bechira is human, but it's also relative to what they know, what they're aware of, what they're conscious of. But it's human. There are consequences to all human things. And we can expand our Bechira. The more we learn, the more we expand our Bechira always.
So really, no human beings get a free pass.
Right. That's right. Please, Mrs. Fran, yeah.
Poelim,
that's right. So they're spiritual nifalim. Right? They're receiving from Hashem what to do, and they do it. They're not changing the nature of reality. They're carrying out what needs to be done, either based on Ratzon Hashem or human Bechira, one of those two things. Okay, just going to make a quick announcement. So this semester, we're going to start 5 minutes later. I think every 5 minutes helps for everybody here. No, it helps for me. So as it turns out, Rabbi Howard is not teaching after me this semester. So I'm going to start at 9:30 instead of 9:25, 9:30, and then we'll go to 10:20 approximately. That'll be our just 5 minutes more. But as I said, it helps, right? Okay. I think there's another question, Revison. Yeah, please. Yeah.
So the other thing I was thinking, when you said the last thing, yeah. Nephilim sometimes do the wrong thing. So when he got, I think, maybe if I had this right time, if it got real when he was supposed to destroy the base of Mikdash, or whatever he was supposed to destroy, it says he took that coal and he put it somewhere and he cooled it down.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking when you said that that's, of course, you know, you could say he didn't do what he was instructed to do, but yet, no, he did exactly what Hashem wanted
right.
to do. So there's a message in that while we were right to be destroyed in this much fiercer way, it was cooled down because that was what Hashem wanted.
Right.
But it was done looking like the Malach wanted to do it, that we shouldn't lose the message that Hashem was really angry.
Right.
Or something like that.
Right, and Gavriel was carrying out the Ratzon of Hashem the way he wanted that to occur.
The way Hashem wanted it
right.
to occur.
Right, that's right.
So it wasn't like Gavriel decided, oh, I got this really high cola, I got to cool it down first.
No. Okay. Have a great week, everybody. Nice to see you. A gazitten zimmer. And even spring would be nice. Thank you, Yashua. I'm sorry, one more thing. I'm sorry. Sorry, just one more announcement. If you want to take the photocopy with you...